And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, December 10th, 2011, the Sergeant Lipton episode. I'm Scott.
I'm James.
I'm Jeremy.
I'm Matt.
The first thing we talk about is the Star Wars MMO beta impressions and how much most of us here, in fact all of us here, loved it and will be playing that come this week. Then we get into the tweets and emails. We have talk about the consolization of Skyrim's UI and the playstyle as well. We go over our worst game nominations and worst award category for the VGAs. Also, the merit of a perfect score is discussed. And, of course, our game of the year as we wrap that up. And then we go into the VGAs. I don't know how he's going to edit all that down, but it's possibly going to be in there. If not, you've probably already seen what the most important parts were, which actually weren't that important. But anyway, yeah, that's the show. Let's see. If you want to get in touch with us, you can send us a tweet. At In-Game Chat is our Twitter thing. Also, if you want to email us, everyone at ingamechat.net. If you'd like to send us some messages on PlayStation Network or Xbox Live, you can do so, or you can contact us through the forums as well. Go to colonygamers.com. We have forums there, and that's how you can get in touch with us. I think I covered all the ways they can do it. Don't forget to join us for the live shows as well. You can sit in the chat room and talk to us while we're doing the shows. So that's it. Enjoy the show. That's why after Assassin's Creed, I didn't pick up anything.
You'll be fine. My guess is
I thought about it and I'm like, you know what? Just take a break because you're gonna be. That's all you're ever really gonna be doing for the next.
I haven't even touched.
What comes out next week?
Oh, Old Republic.
Yeah. Good job.
What do we want to do? All right, here's
preloaded.
Preloaded. Did you keep your? You never. Did you ever get your own beta invitation?
Yes.
Did you play again?
Yes.
So not this past weekend, but the weekend before you played.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Okay. If you preload it, if you played on Thanksgiving, you can keep that version of the game.
Okay.
If you played before, like you, you
need. But to, I already uninstalled and reinstalled.
Which they said was not. You would just have more than what you needed in there. Would be the only problem.
But the way the file structure works is not.
Yeah.
Right. I wish I could keep my character.
No, that's not how it works. That's why you're getting early start.
Yeah, but I know, like you said, this time going through level 10 was like super. I did it in like.
Did you play the same character?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're just like space bar.
I knew exactly where to go. Yeah, it was super easy.
Everybody and their mom got in on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Which it ran.
I mean, I don't know. Like that was going to be my first statement was.
And that they weren't. Staggered down that
hey man, they road. Weren't. They weren't fucking around. They had 2 million people in over the course of those stress test betas. 2 million accounts, and it was fucking smooth.
I never had a single issue.
The only issue I had, and this isn't really an issue because I played in a previous version of the beta, and there's a long-standing problem where if you have a character and then they shut the beta down. They move to a new build of the game.
Your character's toast.
Your character, it's not toast. They started letting you carry over,
okay. But
there were bugs in the character database. So of my two characters that were in their teens, one of them would work and one of them didn't.
Mm. Which one worked?
The smuggler.
Okay.
I have been split for a very long time between smuggler and consular. And my consular died. He couldn't log in with him. So I was like, well, fuck it, I'll pick up my smuggler, you know? And it's going to be my main when I start. I'm going to do a gunslinger when I start. I think there's a number of people. There are a lot of polls that you can look at. And some of them are stupid, but if you look around, you can find really good polls with high sample sizes. And
On the Republic side, I saw a nice. A good split between trooper, Jedi, smuggler.
No, you didn't.
Or was it well, okay. There, all
right. Here's the problem. Smuggler. You're looking at like you shouldn't be looking at just class. Class ceases to have any meaning whatsoever after level 10. It's advanced class.
The advanced matters. Class. Yeah. Gotcha.
And of the advanced classes, the gunslinger, which is what I'm playing, one of only two. Right? First off, you know, there's an analog on the other side. It's exactly the same. Gunslinger's exactly the same as Sniper.
Mm-hmm.
The Jedi Sentinel, which is a, you know, two sabers, is exactly the same as the Marauder. And those are the only two pure DPS classes. Pure, 100% pure DPS. They have no option to be a tank or a healer. And there are a lot of people in the game who are very suspicious of that. You know, they want... Well, I always want to be able to group. I plan on playing... Because if you look at the polls, right? If you mm-hmm. look at the polls, you'll see that, like a typical MMO breakdown, 50% of people are going to be DPS. 25%... And these are very rough. But roughly half the people will be DPS. A quarter will be tanks. A quarter will be healers. Works out perfectly because it's four-man groups.
You don't want to be like, you know, nothing but healers.
Well, but I mean, the group just can't function that way.
Yeah.
But if you look at the way the population breaks down, that's legit. But the two DPS-only specs are not very well represented. One of them is because the Jedi, pure DPS AC, is gimped. They're not built very well right now. And the Smuggler has that cover mechanic, and people are very suspicious of the cover mechanic. I was too, that's why I rolled it in beta, to see how it worked. And how far did you get in the second weekend thing, since you had such an easy time getting up to level 10?
I got up to 14.
Okay. Just about the point where the game gets interesting, in my opinion.
I got to 13 before.
Because you get...
I was going around Coruscant.
You'll get your... All right, 14... You get sprint, which means you run about twice as fast,
yeah.
Which
helps.
Really makes you feel a lot better. It honestly does.
Yeah.
Around 17, whenever you finish up your class quest on Coruscant, is when you get your ship.
Okay.
That really changes things. And all of the character stuff, you know, like did you do the Essilis?
No, I tried the first time, but by myself.
You can't do it by yourself. It's a group.
It's a
flashpoint. Well, you did the Essilis.
Yeah.
The Essilis isn't meant to have tanks and healers, because even if you choose a tank or a healing AC at level 10, you have no... Like, literally, the tank classes have no tank skills. No taunt, no defensive stance, no threat generation, nothing until level 16. You're tank in name only. The healer only has one heal. So that first thing, that Essilis, is just designed like, here's how group shit works, guys. Here's four of you. Get together. Go in here. Here's how the story shit works. Here's how bosses work. It's kind of an introduction to MMO grouping.
Yeah. You know?
And I thought it worked pretty well.
We got wiped on our first boss.
He was tuned a little weird in the beta, in my opinion.
Yeah. We got wiped on him the first time.
Because he's got all his ads coming out. And if people don't know how to... That's a good first fight, because it's like, here's how an MMO fight works. Here's a boss, here's a bunch of random ads that keep coming out, and it's just about handling that shit correctly.
So when we got our fourth, though...
No problem.
We were fine throughout the rest
of the game. Well, and if you do that at level, like, 12, it's a face roll. It's a cakewalk. It's designed for level 9 and 10.
Yeah.
So
I think at that point I was probably at a... I know I gained a level just by clicking on all the shit once I got to the Imperial Fleet.
When I did it the first time, I didn't reach 10 until I got to Coruscant.
But which is bad, because you can't choose your AC correctly. Yeah. The pacing is all wrong. You're supposed to hit 10 before you get to the
fleet. I did this time. Yeah, before I got to the fleet.
And as soon as you step on the thing, as soon as you step out onto the fleet, there's a guy right there who says, hey, go over here and choose your AC.
Yeah.
But if you don't happen to hit 10 beforehand, then you'll miss that quest. It was very confusing for people in the beta, and will be in live, I think, to some degree. But level, based on what I think, I would say I wasn't a huge fan of the first 10 levels. You know, I was kind of getting into it, but I wasn't big on it. Like, I was kind of in a... I don't know how much I like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I had two characters to about 14 in the first beta weekend. And it actually wasn't doing much for me, you know? But that second beta weekend, when I got to cross that mid-teen threshold, and like things started clicking, and I started really feeling out the complexities of my class, and I got my ship, I got my sprint, I got enough extra skills and shit to really start feeling like my guy was built well. One of the things that scares people away from the smuggler is the cover mechanic.
I tried it a little bit, and then it was
gone. And it feels clunky. It feels really clunky.
Especially at first.
Yeah. Well, level 10, let's say you're playing a gunslinger, right? Level 10, you stop using the environment for cover. You don't ever, like, roll over behind this or roll over behind that. You can, but it's, my opinion is kind of stupid because it ruins your positioning. And DPS is very much about positioning. So you get a little portable cover, you know?
Yeah.
It's just a little shield generator, click, pops up, and you get your ranged defense bonus. It's not as good as the strong defense bonus from the environment, but it doesn't matter. Point is, it's really, really, really clunky. I have to go into cover to use what, like, a whole shitload of my abilities. They only work when I'm in cover. That's kind of like, well, this is really crappy. But once you start getting talent points or skill points, and you start spending them, you get these bonuses where every time I drop into cover, my big charge attack, instead of taking 2.5 seconds to cast, is instantaneous. And then that motherfucker counts some time off of my other big charge attack. And that happens every time I get in cover. And then when I get in cover, I get a shield bonus. So anything that attacks me, I start, like, it has like 3 charges, and I just mitigate a whole shitload of that damage. And then when I pop out of cover, I get a bonus to this thing, and then I can drop back into cover and get another instant shot, you know, charge shot. So all of a sudden, it went from being this clunky, rooted, stupid-feeling class mechanic to something that just tipped right over into complex and interesting and became the kind of difficult-to-play but really rewarding class thing that I like. The problem is, in a weekend beta, nobody really gets past the mid-teens.
Yeah.
But everybody makes their decisions about what they want to play based on that first 10 to 15 levels. And it's almost not indicative of how your class is going to play.
I almost kind of wish they would have had like a high-end beta where you're like...
Well, they did, but they weren't for the weekenders.
Yeah.
The weekenders, like all of us, were just there to stress. That's
yeah.
it. We were only stress testers. They've done... Not enough, but they have done high-end beta testing. It's just been in closed sessions.
Yeah.
Long-term
if I, sessions. I mean, I wish we could have gotten that, but that we could say, like, oh, okay, I know when I'm level 30, this is the kind of stuff I'll be able to have, how to use it.
And I think if you could get into your 20s, you'd start to have a real taste for it. The 30s, you start getting key abilities. The 40s, it really becomes a thing. And then at 50, you know what, like, you're done leveling, so you know what this guy can do. This is just how MMOs work, you know? Not to mention, in the first 3 months of this game's life, they are going to be really aggressively balancing all the classes. Like,
yeah.
Once they have massive populations up near cap, you know? But I'd say, like, just the difference between, like, level 14 and level, like, 25, which is where I got on my smuggler, I loved him.
So worth going through again a third time just to...
Oh, not only worth it, but I'll have an advantage.
Yeah, because
I'll know exactly how it works at every stage, and I'll have all of the information I need. I'll know his class quests, so I don't have to pay attention to the stuff. I'll be able to zip through pretty far.
Yeah.
But, and same for you guys, how much faster was the trooper the second time?
So much faster.
Yeah, because he was like, yeah, I know where everything is, I know how this guy works.
And, I mean, I enjoyed listening to the voice acting and stuff like that the first time. But now I'm just like, okay, I know this lady.
Did you play male or female?
Male.
Did you play male or female?
Male.
Okay. But I'm just really curious.
Although, I think the female trooper has, what's her name as a voice?
Jennifer Hale?
It was Hale.
Yeah.
The female trooper?
I think she's the female trooper.
There are a lot of, my consort, the consort was the other thing I played, playing the shadow, the guy with this dark maul staff.
Consular hater? No.
No, the consular is, Nolan.
Yeah.
Hader is...
He's the...
The
other one.
JK? Not the consular, but the Jedi Knight.
Yeah.
I think Hader's the Jedi Knight.
Okay.
So you can either And if you get down with that or not, I don't know. It's up to you.
Well, I'm not going to play based on voice. Now, the fact that...
A lot of people do, though. A lot of people are really big. I don't really
know
who's
the voice of the trooper.
Put it this way. The class doesn't... the voice doesn't determine the class I'm going to go with.
No, but it...
But because I have a choice between male or female of the class I want to play...
Right.
And she's doing the female voice, I'm probably going to pick her.
Now, look, I'll tell you as a person who has played a fuck ton of MMOs. The only thing that matters to me is how much fun I have in group shit with my friends. You know?
Yeah.
Whether it's a four-person flashpoint, or if it's a dungeon thing or a raid thing, how my guy, my gameplay, how that experience works with my friends or whoever I'm playing with.
Which I didn't get a chance to really test that out except for on the very last day. And I didn't know any of those people.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. You don't need to.
I mean, we were all going through it seemingly the very first time.
And that's
for all of us.
That's really fun.
Yeah.
New content is really fun if it's all of you. Because it's just like... It's like going on a ride for the first time.
Yeah.
And that's more than a casual reference because this is a... They refer to it as a theme park MMO. It's all about the ride, you know? Not about... This is not like the Skyrim of MMOs. This is all about a focused experience and how much fun it is. So, but that's fine. For me, that's all it's about. And the stories and stuff... And here's another problem. And this actually is something I want to talk to you two about because...
Well, which class are you playing, Scott?
He's playing Trooper.
Okay.
I got him on the Trooper. I figured that was the best analog to the Blaster in certain ways.
City of Heroes.
I like that, the Trooper was fun.
Oh, the Trooper, like I said, by level... whatever, you go through the motions up to level 9.
Mm-hmm.
But I was level 10 when I picked my mission that threw the little snare into the whole story of what was going on, and I thought...
All right.
You've baited me, and I've bitten this hook.
Yeah.
You have my, now you have my $84 with tax.
Now let me tell you something.
Special edition?
I did the middle one. The digital only.
Coming from again a guy who's played a shit ton of MMOs, that has never, ever happened. I've never ever had a friend start to play an MMO and say, "Holy shit, I was hooked by the story."
Yeah,
really.
And to my mind, I'm like, my smuggler story is pretty cool. He's a smuggler, right? The first 17 levels of my life are, yeah, that's nice, bitch. Where's my fucking ship? This guy stole my ship. Where's my ship?
Yeah.
For literally the last 5 class quests, before I finally got my ship back, my character was just running out of patience. And he was like, yeah, that's great. Where is my ship? And he kept saying that line, and he was just pissed off. And I'm like, I know! I want my ship! You know? And once I got it, I kind of felt really attached to him. Not in, like, there's this really laser-focused storyline, but that there's a sense of, if I kind of want to get wrapped up in what this guy's doing, like, it's not as well managed as Knights of the Old Republic or as Mass Effect, but I'll be goddamned if it isn't both of those things simultaneously. You are playing a very BioWare story.
Yeah.
And goddamn it, if you're interested in Knights of the Old Republic 3, which you'll never get, this is it.
Yeah.
This is how it's done. If you ever had any interest, this is what you need to play. Even if you're not in for the width and breadth of what an MMO actually means, they don't care. You can single player this as much as you want. You can multiplayer it as much as you want. The story is there for the taking or the skipping. It's up to you.
Yeah.
And if you take special note of how they built their ship, they really weren't kidding. There are essentially, you know, 4 root classes, and they're just mirrored on the other side. But every single class has an absolutely unique story experience.
And that makes me want to go through each and every class after I get done with
Trooper. And that's what they want you to do. If BioWare could hear that out of your mouth and how impressed you were with the story hook at 10 out of yours, they would be happy and they would know that their job
was okay. Done. I mean, I was okay. I was probably already going to be doing this because I was understanding the controls. Like, with WoW, I didn't understand what I was doing. There's a quest to go kill these many things, but man, I didn't know what the fuck I was pressing when I was doing my attacks. I just knew that these are little buttons I need to hit, and he does stuff. But with this one, I knew this was my charge up. I knew this was my AoE. I knew this was my single. Mm-hmm. This is my hand to hand. All this stuff.
Yeah.
I knew what all that stuff meant.
Those are crazy. Well, I forget the monster names on that island. They had to go and like.
I don't remember what those.
That island on Ormantel was a son of a bitch.
Oh, those. God,
as a matter of fact,
I had to team up to get that one taken care of.
I would just run, push the button, and just keep on jogging.
I duoed it with another guy, but. Neither one of us really like, if we had had our companions and had come back to do that, we'd have been better off.
Yeah.
But we didn't, so it was just the two of us.
And
who's
the smuggler's companion?
The most annoying companion in the game, unfortunately. Your first companion as a smuggler is like is some guy you're hanging out with who got fucked over with you, like... You and he got fucked over by the same guy.
I'd love to tell you who you're... Well, you probably already know these things. I don't know if
who the companion is?
For the trooper. You probably already
know. Dude, I can see them. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not bad.
But you don't know what his relationship is
to
the character. And I didn't know if you'd look that stuff up.
No, I'm not interested in looking that shit up.
And I would love to tell you, but it's like, I can't, because that's part of what happens.
The story.
No, you don't want to do that.
Yeah.
But...
And it was so...
It was.
See, the thing is... The thing is... What we're talking about now, again, based on everything I've read, smuggler story, good. Trooper story, good. Jedi Knight and consular story, at least up to, not very good. Not really, really.
I played a little bit of the Jedi Knight. And
it's just not very good.
Yeah.
Now, overall, and this is unfortunate, there seems to be an extraordinary bias towards storytelling on the Sith side.
Yeah.
Because... Smuggler and Trooper, fine. They're both good. You can go through and justify saying, well, I'll be a smuggler because, like, you know, smuggler story. Like, you're pulling some Han Solo shit, you know, for 50 levels, and then you're a DPS guy, or you're a healer, or whatever the hell.
Mm-hmm.
Trooper, I've heard, has some, I don't know, fun Band of Brothers overtones or some shit in it. I don't know. I haven't looked it up. I don't intend to. But the consensus is, even if you despised the Imperial Agent class, it's worth playing for the story. It's that good.
Really?
Yeah. And that all of the Sith stories, the worst of the Sith stories, are better than the best of the Republic stories.
I like the Sith ship better, ships better, too.
I really like my smuggler ship.
Yeah.
It's very Outrider. I really, really like it.
It is, but I just like the look.
I do not like the Jedi ship because one of my buddies got in his. So like we each visited each other. Once you have your ship, you can visit a friend's ship.
Nice.
So we each got in each other's, and I was like, "Ah, your ship sucks. Mine's cool. Mine's really awesome. Mine is like laid out like the Outrider or the Falcon."
Yeah. Which makes sense.
Yeah, mine has like his is like I don't. It's all like a consular ship, you know. Because you're a Jedi, and it's like I understand.
Mine's
that,
pretty fucking mundane too.
But mine's like my ship, and like I've got like cool shit in my cargo hold. I got some dude's head in a jar. I got a guy in carbonite. I got like a big crazy cat thing in a cage. I got some hot chick that works on my computer in there. It's very nice.
I haven't seen the trooper ship yet.
Trooper ship is the ugliest ship in the game, by the way.
It's
it's really stupid looking.
It's horrible.
Whatever, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. I mean, if Trooper was on the Sith side, I'd be playing it on the Sith. You know, it's just that class. You know.
See, that's my problem is, well, but that's where you're at. Because functionally, it's identical to the Bounty Hunter.
Yeah.
There's no difference. It's all the same mechanics. Just a different story and a different,
different
window dressing.
So far, the Trooper story is the only thing tying me to want to play that character when it goes live, because I've already sunk in the first 10 levels and I'm already hooked on that story. However, I like the Sith ships better, or at least the higher end, whatever.
What are we talking about?
They're not Jedi Siths, are they? Or
Well, no. The Sith are the analog to the Jedi.
Right. I like their ships better than I do any of the others.
The IA has the best looking ship in the game.
But I like
sleek, yeah. fucking black ass, like
yeah.
oh, crazy Darth Maul looking shit.
Totally. And then I like his smuggler's gunslinger's outfit more than I do any of the other classes.
Yeah.
But, you know, you gotta pick with whatever, and I'm
you gotta pick something that. No, you have to pick something to start with.
Yeah.
If left to my own devices, if none of my people were playing this, I'd be playing a sniper. I'd be playing Imperial Agent. I'd play on the Sith side. But I know you want to play a trooper. And
are you doing trooper too?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
okay.
And you're hooked on the trooper as well.
I am fucked on
the so I'm like, okay, I will fucking play Republic.
I don't bring it down like that.
And I've got another friend who wants to play a scoundrel. So it's like, well, okay. But
I mean, ever since I heard about it, I knew exactly I'd be a trooper because that's what I've always, you know, in Galaxies. If I could have been a stormtrooper in Galaxies and done what I wanted to do a stormtrooper, I would have.
I don't know if you've looked up any of their stuff, but the other thing, and see, this is a problem. Perception is a problem in this game. Like, don't get me wrong, lightsaber's really cool, right? Like, they're very cool. They just absolutely hit that sweet spot of how they sound.
Mm-hmm.
And how they look.
But not how they act.
The class mechanics are kludgy. You know, the Jedi Knight or the Sith Warrior, right? Like, Obi-Wan versus Darth Vader. That is your iconic Star Wars class. And at the moment, I'll stop short of saying they're broken, but they're underpowered. And they're kludgy, and they're not as much fun. The vast majority of people will not be playing the most iconic class.
Yeah.
And not because it's hard, but because it's just not built very well at the moment.
But, I mean, to get a lightsaber as they should be, I mean, we've only seen that really once.
I'm not worried about that. I know what MMOs are, and I know how they work.
I can't really fault them on that.
I know.
No,
I
it's mean, not, be hard it's to not do that. That. But what I'm talking about is if you take everybody and lay them all out and kind of, you know, discuss each one and how they work, the most iconic class is the least fun to play. That's rough, you know? That's kind of rough. So, I don't fault people for being kind of pissed off about that. But again, played MMOs for a long time. The way the game looks right now is not what the game will look like in even 3 months worth of balance. So, just leave that there. It'll be fine. It doesn't matter. We all know that the one thing they've done is they've done the one thing BioWare can do right, which is write a bunch of cool goddamn stories. And they'll probably get me to play every single class, assuming I can get that far before Guild Wars comes out.
But unfortunately, BioWare also comes through in this game when you have the conversation radio.
Yes, really. It was really poo-ass, actually. I got really, really pissed off at it because...
Okay, what are my options? All right. Let's see that. Hey, no, that's not what I wanted to say.
Well, and add to it the fact that, you know, there's special gear for... You know, if you choose all the light side options, you get a whole bunch of light side points. And you go light side plus whatever, you get special... You can get equipment that's only usable by light side.
Mm-hmm.
And there's equipment that's only usable by dark side. There is... At the moment, fucking zero special equipment for people who go neutral. The problem is, the neutral answers are almost always the most interesting answers. Particularly from, like, a smuggler. I'm not outright an asshole, and I'm sure as hell not a good guy. I'm just kind of like, I'm riding the line, man, because I'm out to make a buck.
Yeah, that's...
So I'm classic. Neutral all the way, but I get no bonuses for doing that. Big fucking mistake on their part. But... They're new to this. They've never made an MMO before. And this game is full of bullshit. It's broken. It's not really well designed. But it's just fun enough. The stories are just fun enough. And I know a lot of people who are going to play it. So I'm definitely in for it. I mean, I've taken off. I am going to...
Yeah, how are you doing that? You figured out a plan yet?
I am optimistically... Like, I'm assuming, because of how early I pre-ordered, that I'll be in on the 13th, which is Tuesday. So I'm taking off Tuesday through the rest of that week. Any more time off than that, and I start to go, like...
Stir crazy.
I start to get weird. I just want to go work, you know? Even a long weekend, sometimes I'm just like, I need to go, I don't know, I need to log into Active Directory or something. I feel weird. So I'm gonna take those days off, and I'm gonna eat the shit out of some Crystal and some Taco Bell, and I got a whole fridge full of booze readied up. I'm gonna buy some more supplies, and I'm gonna do that because I've never been able to do that before. Take time off for another lunch. I assume you saw how they're gonna do the early access, which is just like, we'll send you an email.
Yeah.
As soon as you get an email, that's when you can log in.
Yeah.
Which is shitty, but.
So you're sitting there refreshing my
email browser. Oh, that's all I'm gonna do. That's all I'm gonna do, man. I'm gonna F5 my Gmail page.
Yeah.
But regardless, I'm just happy that so many of my friends, my people, are interested in it.
Yeah.
Because even if you're not in it for that level of multiplayer, of what is essentially large-scale co-op to me,
yeah,
you're in it for the story, which means you're in there, mm-hmm, and I don't give a shit. I got my people playing games together. That makes me very happy.
When I logged in this past time on Thanksgiving, I got, I had the email in the game, and it said, thanks for pre-ordering. Here's a, purple crystal for your gun. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I grabbed it. I wonder if that'll still be available.
No, it will be.
Okay.
Yeah. Because all this is being wiped.
Okay. Yeah. Just plus one to, like, I got to think endurance.
It's poetic. You'll replace it pretty quickly, as a matter of fact. But it changes the color, and it adds a certain, it applies certain bonuses to your shit. So
what is the, what version you're getting? What does it come with?
I don't remember.
It comes with the color crystal.
Comes with the color crystal.
It comes with the stap. You get a free mount.
Oh, yeah, the stap.
Well, you get a free mount. You don't get free training.
No.
But you get a free mount, which saves you about like 8,000 credits, I think.
Yeah.
The bulk of it is still training cost at level 25, though. You get a few other tchotchkes.
Yeah, a couple.
You get like a pet or something.
I get the dog? Or not dog.
The mouse droid?
Mouse effect. Yeah, yeah.
I think you get the mouse droid. I don't know. And then the collector's edition guys get a a VIP lounge for where they can all together.
Oh, I get that too. I just don't get to shop in their store.
That's so fucking weird.
Yeah.
When I was in Coruscant, I saw that, and the guy's like, "Nope, you got the VIP."
Yeah, whatever. Like, what is that? Fuck that. I've never ever bought a collector's edition of a fucking MMO before. I don't understand them.
I have. this time, back in City Heroes,
yeah,
I did the same thing.
And you know what's weird? Most of my real life people who play them all buy the collector's editions, and I don't fucking get it. I don't. I just want to play the damn game.
Normally, if it's good enough, I'll throw down the collectors, but not on this one.
Man, I don't even buy shit that comes in boxes anymore.
I was going to say, you only have to look up there to see what the fuck
so,
I do.
Whatever, it's fine. It's fine. I don't give a fuck as long as you guys are in there playing. So.
And Jeremy and RJ.
I know what'll work on him.
He can play as a
woman. One thing. If he had gotten a taste during beta, the story would have done it for you. It's BioWare, It's not every bit as good as some of what was going on in Mass Effect, but it's BioWare storytelling.
It's fun.
You can treat it like a single player game, and then go run a flashpoint with everybody every now and then. That's about how it works, but I know, because we have a lot of conversations, that somewhere enemy wants to play an MMO, but he's not going to waste his time on just bullshit mainstream MMOs. It's going to be Secret World.
Think so?
Yeah. I think you'll try the Secret World. Because why not? Because they're saying, fuck convention, right?
Yeah.
We're just going to try to do as much oddball shit as we possibly can. And how do you... Hey, it's a Torn quest, for Christ's sake. How do you not... That was the first MMO we all played together.
Yeah, it was.
How could you not go back and get a little bit of that, oddball Scandinavian MMO flavor, like we had in Anarchy.
Yeah.
I think I asked you this, but I don't think you responded. Is Kevin at all into this?
He won't... No, not now, but he might be.
Later. Okay.
He might really be later.
Wasn't sure.
But anyway, it'll be a thing, whatever. If I'm honest, I intend to play this not... I haven't played that in a while. They're just not, their shit's all fucked up and whatever. But this is new. Mm-hmm. It's a whole thing filled from beginning to end with stuff I haven't done already.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
just new. And new plus multiplayer friends. Stuff with friends is brilliant.
Yeah.
Fuck the community at large. Fuck all the things you really hate about MMOs. All it is large-scale co-op with my people, and it's new. And that's what does it for me. And regardless of how kind of broken and poorly designed I actually think it is, I'm gonna play shit out because new.
Yeah, I mean, so I know we all had a great time running around City of Heroes together.
Yes, we did, and it was broken and really poorly designed. So, and this less so.
Yeah,
you know, but I also got to tell you that as soon as the next thing rolls around, whether it's Guild Wars 2, whenever the hell that happens, so those motherfuckers are doing a really good job. Or yeah, absolutely. Absolutely I will. Or the Secret World. Because I don't believe they know what the fuck they're doing in the Secret World.
Right.
And that sounds interesting. You know? So. But I mean, I'm in for it. You know, it's exciting. I've played a lot of shit up to now. I have never in my adult life ever really been able to take off time for a game release. Because the kinds of jobs I've always had. So. Worthy or not, take a couple vacations.
Yeah, enjoy
this
it.
Fucking thing. Sit there in my chair and try to get fat and stuff. I don't know.
What are we on to next?
Tweets
or Skyrim? Skyrim's covered in tweets, but yeah.
Yeah, let's do tweets. Because
we got about an hour tweets. Left here. Let's see, Gershnort says, has anyone else grown weary of game journos bitching about the holiday gaming glut? I never really complain about these games released because my options are few and select, and I don't hear any non-journos complain. Is there a disconnect?
There is. Now, I'll say we've complained about it a lot of times, yeah. But that's because, like...
That was because they weren't releasing anything in the rest of the year.
Yeah. Everything is right here.
Yeah.
And it makes no sense. Like, you could spread that out, and I'm still going to play the stuff... Also, we're not journos. We don't get sent copies of shit.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, we have to rent it on our own. We have to find time to play it around work. Yeah. Like,
they're done with the game by the time it gets released for the mass public. And so, of course, they have more time to sit there without anything to do. I say that, but I'm sure there's plenty for them to do. Just whatever. But yeah. Starsealer22 says, gotta disagree with James about collector's edition art books. As an artist, for me... They are a treasure hoard of value. By the way, props to Scott for getting my last name right a few podcasts ago. Thank you. Setup-wise, Skyrim has been built for consoles, and according to scolding remarks of PC gamers, it shows.
All right, A, let me be clear. I just don't like the art books. I like the art.
Yeah.
I just don't like the books because it winds up on my shelf, and it's just sitting there.
You look at it once, then you're done.
My thing is more just about shelf clutter than it is about, you know... And the art book seems an easy way to recycle something they already have. The art, I do like the art. It really isn't the same just looking at it on your computer or something like that. But I don't know. I just don't like shelf clutter, you know. And art books are an easy way of like, just go back to the shit that like, you know, that Bob drew 2.5 years ago when we were still coming up with ideas and put that shit in a book. That's all. Believe me, I'm not. I don't mean to poop on the art. The consolification of Skyrim.
Please, nice one. Yeah, I mean.
Well, it's it's got the stink of consoles on it,
particularly in the UI, which is a nasty.
In the
piece
UI,
of shit.
Which is probably one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life for usability. Having said that, I've gotten really good at using it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it isn't categorized very well. A list is a really terrible way to go about things. There's absolutely no way to view your character and what they're currently wearing and what they look like.
Yeah.
It's real bad. And I'm assuming it's just really usable on the consoles, but...
I mean, at least you have Oblivion when you go to your character for the inventory, you can see your dude.
Well, but here's the other thing. Most of the complaints about the UI are that it just doesn't do its fucking job.
Yeah.
Now, before even the first patch, yeah, mouse over control, like mouse over wasn't working very well, clicking wasn't working very well, scrolling wasn't working very well. Those were serious failures. But the design of the UI,
Escape,
I don't see how it could
be. Escape not always backing you out of where you were.
Tab does half of the stuff, Escape does the other half.
Yeah.
I can't really see how the console's getting any more out of it than the PC is in terms of actual functionality. So that's just UI fail. There's still some massive problems where you can't remap keys the way you want because it's got that same bullshit multifunction key mapping that consoles have. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, consoles have like, what, like 12, 14 options for input. So on the PC, I'd really like to be able to bind each individual function to separate keys. Mm-hmm. But the game is not smart enough to let you do that without breaking something. Remember I told you if I rebound my favorites key,
mm-hmm.
my favorites broke. And I couldn't favorite or unfavorite things. Mm-hmm. And I was able to fix that eventually, but yeah, that's a big problem. The mouse control too was really, really broken. No independent control of the X and Y axis, but the Y axis was like really squirrely and
mm-hmm.
all out of whack. You could make some arguments that visually it's compromised, but I do gotta say though, God damn it, the difference between this game and Oblivion is
night and day.
Smashing. It's like
makes Oblivion look like Daggerfall.
Yeah, it's smashing, man. I mean, it is. I'm not saying that taken by itself, it's a really like lovely piece of rendering, but within the same hardware generation, the same general software generation, and using essentially the same engine, fuck me if they didn't do so much a better job.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really nice. After the first little bit, I didn't feel too terribly torn up about what were most likely console problems.
Mm-hmm.
It's buggy. I don't want to dismiss that, you know?
Yeah.
Because they're bad. And every patch they've released on the PC has broken it even further. It's coming from someone who can't turn their patching off.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, but... I mean, it's so bad that there are people out there who have refused since the game's launch to log into Steam.
Mm.
Until they hear that it's actually fixed.
I believe it.
And I don't know, that may have to wait till January when we get the development kit.
Yeah, I saw that that's being released.
But overall, I wouldn't lay quite as much at the feet of console infection as I would at just, you fuckers don't know how to make a stable, clean, well-designed game.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And you clearly didn't come at it from the PC perspective.
Right.
That's really obvious. It's not optimized for... You know, you have to... As it is, days into the game, you had to mod it in order to make it a PC game. The large address aware patch,
mm-hmm.
which lets you use... More than two gigs of RAM, so that the shit doesn't crash all the time. The FXAA injector, the high dynamic range textures and lighting shit, like all of these things kind of come together to turn it into something that resembles a real PC game.
Is there a way to make the field of view permanent?
Yeah. Yeah, it should be permanent. Well, okay, it's semi-permanent if you do the edit through the drop-down, but it'll still reset sometimes.
Mine resets every time.
Mine doesn't reset every time, but it does do it sometimes. Have you tried doing it in the INI? The SkyrimPrefs.ini? That's in your
user
directory. Okay. It's not in the Steam apps.
Okay, shit. I was looking at the Steam
apps. There's a Skyrim INI and a Skyrim Prefs INI. And those are in... what do you want? 7? Vista? Yeah.
7.
You know, C, users, my games.
Okay.
Blah, 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 blah. It's in there.
Every time it resets to the default.
And you can, and there's a lot of, have you run any mods? Have you done any tweaks?
Not yet.
Oh, fuck! You are not playing Skyrim. Please, for the love of Christ, go out there and look these things up.
Yeah.
There's a whole shit ton of just INI modifications that change how things were. Self-shadowing on some of the landscape elements. Well, the large editor stuff is a thing, but like the FOV stuff, you can change the way the mouse behaves if you're having trouble with that. A lot of detail things with textures, level of detail stuff in the distance and how it behaves, you can make that shit a lot better. So, I mean, it's a Bethesda game, you know, on PC. This is what you have to do. This is what you have to do in order to make it what it needs to be. But it's worth it. I guess. It's worth it to me.
Next one comes from BK Smith. No Battlefield, oh my god. Guys, the beta was shit, but the game on PC is amazing. On PS3, great. Don't pass it up for too long. I almost bought it because it was $30 on Black Friday, but I still didn't take the plunge.
It, you know, even if they had done absolutely right by me at every level, it would have been a tough sell. Because again, looking back at the timing, it was right there at the end of October, man. I was not running out of shit to do.
Right.
I'm still not running out of shit to do.
I saw a video, someone was playing Battlefield 3, it was in the jet, and someone was chasing me, like, just does, you know, straight vertical.
He jumped out of the jet.
Yeah, shot over the rocket launcher and then got back into the jet.
That's fucked.
Yeah, I mean, every video I've seen of that looks really good, actually, and looks fun. But when it came to it, and they're like, here, it's $30, you can have it for today only. And I just still didn't pull the trigger. So, I don't know if that was because it was Thanksgiving weekend, so I was already going to be playing Star Wars for the weekend. I was still in the middle of Assassin's Creed. So I still had things to do, and I don't know if that pushed me off, or if it was just the sense of, you know, it's probably just that, or the sense that this is still not getting me at $30. Even if I didn't have any of this to do, would I have still bought it? Now, I don't think I would have. Even at the 30.
Yeah, I was in the same position myself. I narrowed it down to Battlefield or Uncharted 3, and I picked Uncharted. But I was thinking about it for a while, but I couldn't get myself to...
You chose wisely.
to get Battlefield.
Your whole face would have just melted off. Thundrago says, Happy Thanksgiving. Thanks, Thundrago. Nabokov sends a bunch of tweets, and we're going to go through them. He quotes Jim Sterling saying, it's not just I'm alive. Today, Ghost Recon Future Soldiers producer said 95% of gamers would pirate it on PC.
They will now.
Yeah, they will. I'm getting really sick of games I love doing things like this. Ghost Recon Future Soldier, not on PC. It's going free to play.
Blows.
Pissed me off, yeah.
Yeah. That I haven't really pirated a game since Steam really became what it became.
Right.
I haven't had to.
Of course you haven't, because Gabe is right.
Yeah.
Piracy is an access issue, not a price issue.
Yeah.
Kosher Infidel sends a tweet that says, James, where's your god? With a picture of a giant spider from Skyrim.
I don't... well, all right, A, I don't like them.
Yeah.
Spiders.
Yeah.
Frost spiders.
But they are not the worst thing by far in that game. They never really sneak up on... It was only one that I had to deal with that caused me any sort of distress.
But the giants were the worst thing in Skyrim.
Well, all right. Truth be told, anymore, nothing is the worst thing in Skyrim. I'm the worst thing in Skyrim.
Yep.
I'm extraordinarily lethal because the game's broken as fuck.
What level are you?
40.
Okay, I'm 38.
But I mean, I'm all sneak and bow.
Yeah, right? With that, you know, that. I mean, it's modifier like with a
it's fucking ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And I don't even have anything like the most powerful gear in the game.
I think I'm running a glass bow.
I'm using...
Ebony arrows?
I'm using an ebony bow.
Okay.
Which isn't, you know... And I haven't done anything in my blacksmithing, so I haven't picked up anything better. But, yeah. It's, At a point, I guess, we're probably in your, like, late 20s, the player just becomes ridiculously unstoppable, even on hardest difficulty. The only thing that'll fuck you up is a dragon. And even then, like, not really.
Yeah.
Gersnort says, I finally figured out why I play Skyrim Oblivion the way I do. I just reinstalled Thief Deadly Shadows to discover a similar flow.
That's exactly... All right, you know what? And for what it's worth, Oblivion worked a bit different, but I don't think any of the other playstyles in Skyrim are even interesting. I think the melee combat is just... It feels floaty and disconnected and kind of... I want it to feel like Assassin's Creed, you know? I want it to feel immediate and really weighty, and mm-hmm. it doesn't. And the magic is so weird. It scales so strangely. It does such shit damage through most of your arc as a character, and then can be very powerful at the end, but you have to make real investments in it. Or you can ignore companions, ignore everything in the world except for your bow and the shadows.
Yeah, mm-hmm. be sneaky bastard.
And be fucking unstoppable. And it's fun. And archery mm-hmm. in the game is really, really fun.
It is. You know, you get people halfway across the room in a dungeon, you shoot yeah. one of them, they all like, well, what happened to him? Like, yeah. You didn't see if you shot the other one. You know.
No, I enjoyed the shit out of that playstyle. And that's absolutely the thing Skyrim's best at.
Thundrago says, Bethesda staff can finish Skyrim in just over 2 hours. Should we expect more for our gaming dollar?
Well, finish what? The main quest?
I mean, you can finish Fallout 3 in what that time if you skip
you
know,
straight
to... You can
finish Fallout 3 in 40 minutes 40, or something?
Yeah, you can skip straight to the pod. Then,
yeah. I mean, maybe they could do a better job at integrating what the main story is. But if you're not paying attention, I don't think you can tell the main story from a lot of the side story. And I've spent, Christ, I don't know, at least 60 hours in the game so far.
Mm-hmm.
At least. And I'm not even looking for shit to do.
Yeah, it comes to find you.
Yeah. Again,
at this point, I'm telling people to fuck off all the time,
yeah.
and don't come up and talk to me because I've got all this other shit I want to do.
I don't need
your quest in my list.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, I do,
and everything I'm doing is very, very interesting.
Speaking just about the main quest, I can understand the main quests almost amount to nothing. They almost never amount to anything worth paying attention to, but. In this case, I will not say that the main quest is bad. It's actually quite good, mm-hmm. unlike Oblivion. But it's not even remotely the only thing in the world. And I still like my idea about the main quest better.
What's that?
I don't know where you are. I don't know how any of that is for you, but the idea of, like, Dragonborn and dragons are coming back and that's the main story and let's go with it, to me, isn't that interesting. The thing that is interesting is how you are apparently the only motherfucker on earth that can help any of these bored ass Daedra. Because if you've done even any amount of the side quests, you realize that to some degree or another, you are bound up with all of these Daedra all over the fucking place. And you're like, you show up on the scene like leaking badass all over the place. And you're really the only guy in the region that can get shit done. So you wind up crossing over kind of like the desires and the will of all of these different Daedric people. Whether it's Sanguine wanting to go on a drinking quest, you know? Shea Gorath just wanting to fucking around for a while, or whether it's something big like Boethia or Nocturnal Ball. Or what?
Molag Ball
or something like that. They've all got something you need to get done for them because they recognize you as being fucking potent, you know? And I think if the storyline had actually woven around what has happened to the Daedric world since they were cut off from Tamriel 200 years ago, would have been a little more interesting. And there's, it's not to say that they couldn't even tie the dragon shit into that.
Yeah.
I just, like, I come across some artifact and some Daedric Lord starts talking in my ear and I'm like, whatever. Like, whatever, dude. You know? I told Mehrunes Dagon to suck a dick. What are you going to do?
Have any of you guys done the Dark Brotherhood?
No, I haven't done them. I polished off Thieves, polished off Mages.
Working Thieves right now, and Mage.
I'm about to... I don't like Mage all that much. Liked Thieves a fucking lot.
Thieves was really good.
So far, it seems like they're just a bunch of bumbling guys that, you know, like, need you to really set them straight.
It'll stop seeming like that pretty quick. Okay. The companions, I'm going to finish off the companions. I was real disappointed in the hook of the companions. Thought it would be something I would enjoy doing, and it's not. Then I'll do, like, as soon as I finish off that, I want to polish off all that shit. I'm going to do that. I think I'll probably go do the be an assassin-y kind of guy. And then it's, I suppose at some point I'll just have to go do the bard stuff and be like, yeah, okay, whatever. I'm a thief, an assassin, an archmage, and a werewolf. What do you want me to do? You play lute? Go fuck yourself.
Gersnort says that with Origin banning players outright from their service and purchases, does anyone else want to put bets on how long it'll last?
I don't really... That's really kind of shitty, what's been happening with that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I would absolutely not bet that it'll have any effect on their success at all.
I don't think so either. Because even with as many people as it has affected, it's a very small percentage of their overall customer base.
Yeah.
And even if it doesn't stop, even if they never address it, it will always be a small, small fraction of their overall customer base. As shitty as it is.
They've proven they don't need goodwill.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't need it. They don't really care about it. They can operate comfortably without it. Valve and Steam are what they are because of customer loyalty and goodwill and word of mouth and, you know,
sales.
But that's part of what builds your goodwill.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
You know, EA has apparently decided they don't need it. So
it was a shame because they built a good bit of goodwill back in around 2008.
They started.
Yeah.
Started to dig out from the hole.
Uh-huh.
Man.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Adnan, 1986, says, how come your podcast is not on the Stitcher Radio app? I found every other podcast that I listen to on there. Stitcher Radio came back and said, we'd love to carry you guys. Here's more info. We will look into that and get on there.
Yeah,
cool.
Thundrago says, the Old Republic is out next week. Have family members and or takeaway establishments been informed?
Yes. Paperwork is filled out. Leave is official. I talked to a couple people at work about it because there's a couple of like people who want to play it casually. They're like, I don't really think you like taking off work doesn't make any sense. I'm like, the fuck else am I going to take off for work for?
Mm-hmm.
You have a kid, or like you have like family. Like mm-hmm. I actually don't have any of those things. You know.
I was doing for something in long.
I haven't ever taken a vacation. No, I think I've taken 2 vacation days at the job.
Yeah.
Which isn't even enough to cover monthly personal days.
Right.
I don't take time. I think I could probably be all right taking 4 days. You know, to play this thing. But I have a plan in my head, and I'm organizing. I'm trying to organize my meals for that week in such a way that I'm just like chilling out. You know, I'm going to have like some Netflix and Hulu to go along with my MMO playing. And I'm going to have like stacks of awful food. I'm going to live the stereotypical, stupid MMO life for at least 4 days. There's like an actual switch.
There's a switch over there on the wall.
Yeah, I think that's easier.
Count Elmdor says, Meta watching the VGAs with you guys sounds 10,000 times more interesting.
Yeah, half an hour and counting, so.
Yeah, Kyrie sends out a PSA for you. Pre-ordered Batman from Green Man Gaming months ago. Still can't play it because their proprietary installer will not work. No ETA on a fix, and no refund. Just a warning for anyone thinking about buying a non-Steamworks game from them.
Yeah, I read that earlier. Really?
Yeah.
Piss on that. That sounds awful.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing I have ever known from them is people buying Steamworks games codes through them and just using them for the code.
Because they get it cheaper over there, but... Mm.
Wow. Non-Steamworks? No,
that sucks.
Because this is a... Batman's a Windows
Games
Live.
Games for Windows.
Games for Windows, that's what it is. Yeah. Let's see. Thundrago says, Game of the Year Homefront, James? Funniest rant since Avatar Review. Game Razzies, anyone?
There are plenty of candidates.
Trust me, if we do a show on New Year's Eve at the end of the year and he's planning on doing what he's planning on doing, we'll probably
have you, it's a religious holiday. Let people lift the glass on
I think I'll be celebrating that religion, too.
Spigot says, what is the most ridiculous award category you can come up with for the VGAs? It could very well be in tonight's show.
It's one that already exists, in my opinion.
The Mountain Dew game with whatever it was. The
most hyped for... Whatever, yeah. Biggest hyped game for
it
next
year.
It
was like the biggest hyped thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, how is that a fucking award?
For me, it'd be like a product, you know.
Best game fueled by Dew is what
it's
called.
Yeah, best product placement.
Best game fueled by Dew. It was the only way they could put the sponsor in the category. But right. He also says, if possible, name three nominees and a winner for your made-up award. So, think of the most ridiculous award category you can come up with.
Oh, my God. I mean, obviously, this is like comedy time, right?
It has to be. But then again, you think of it and you're like, well, I guess I'm not really too far off to something they could actually have.
Best use of Nolan North. He'd be the only winner.
No, there is it's called the Northeast.
Yeah.
That actually exists. It's not the VGAs, but who put that
I think
together?
It's Joystick that does the Northeast.
Yeah, Joystick has the Northeast. It's the best performance by Nolan North.
And he wins every year?
Well, no.
It's the game.
It's the character. Yeah. One of his characters, whoever he portrayed, wins.
Which actually is wonderful.
I think it was I think one of them that he won was when he talked to himself in Mafia 2. Because he was just playing, he was playing random strangers, and then they started talking, and it was Nolan North talking to himself. How's it going? It's going pretty good. What are you doing? And they were just talking to each other. I don't know. It's the most ridiculous category you can come up with for the VGAs.
Well, I've noticed all of their categories for best, like, PS3, best 360, best PC game, all exclude Skyrim, which I'm guessing means Skyrim is going to be their game of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess game of the year that isn't Skyrim... That actually seems to be a popular category at the VGAs this year.
Who would be your winner for that one?
Portal.
Well, either Mass Effect 2 was a good one, too.
Yeah.
Was Mass Effect 2 this year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, what a long year.
in a way, but in another way, it's like it went by so quick.
Mass Effect 2 wasn't this year.
How the hell was that this year?
Was it not this year?
No, that was last year.
When was it?
Mass Effect 2? It was...
To the internet.
No, it was like March... It was early... No, it was like
no, you're
late
right.
February.
Never mind, you're right. I know for a fact.
Because that was the same year that Dante's Inferno hit, the same year that we had... what was that Zelda ripoff?
No.
Darkstalkers, Darksiders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I blame the guy that sent us the list because I think it was on his list.
It was.
I remember that now because I remember
January 2010 is what Lavos says.
Okay. I remember when I finally finished it. It was like June.
Yeah. All right. January.
I couldn't figure out why I stopped playing it, and I remember like I was looking at my save dates. Like,
same year as Red Dead.
The day I
stopped
playing.
PS3 was this year.
That's
true.
That's why it was on that.
PS3, that's right. PS3 was this year for Mass Effect 2. Yeah, that's right.
So you could be.
Yeah, I don't know. Every single one that I think is ridiculous sounds normal for them.
Most rage-inducing game, Dark Souls.
I suppose best game that doesn't have Nolan North in it.
It'd be some Korean game that Nolan's heard of.
He's probably in it. I I'm not kidding. He gets picked for just even the most.
I'm trying to figure out how to.
That's
how
a good category. Best Korean game nobody's heard of.
Yeah, it is actually. In my head, I want to figure out how to make it a nice category, but like
biggest boobs on a chick. Sounds perfectly fitting.
I have this idea, right? That every now and then, it happens often enough that there are really young gamers among us. And every now and then, as young people, very young people are wont to do, they decide, look at this new thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And every now and then there will be something that encapsulates the new thing for them.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, no, child, this is actually this is actually a thing that's been going on in one way or another for quite a while.
Right.
And it's like, oh, yeah. Well, yeah, but this is the thing that made it popular. I am reminded of the various discussions by young persons that John Williams must be so happy to have been made so famous by the Harry Potter
game. I'm sure he is.
Yeah, and it's like, he just...
Come John on, who?
Man. Yeah, that just he just throws that money into his money bin.
Swims around in it a little bit right. more.
Like, well, it's like, yeah, but now he's famous. Oh, okay. You know, and stuff like that. So, like, whatever, the game this year that makes young gamers think this is the first time this has ever happened.
See, I want to laugh at that, but, you know, when I was younger, I did that with my, you know.
But dude, I didn't say these young people are particularly stupid. All young people are stupid.
I did that when I was younger. I was like, oh, my God, this, you know, new guy, Rod Stewart. You know, they're like, yeah,
Do what?
The Disguised Redundancy Award or something like that.
Something like that. And I'm not sure what that game would be this year. I'd have to actually think about that.
I still like my best product placement.
You love product placement. Mm-hmm. You wear t-shirts with things on them.
I do.
And belt buckles.
How about the Kinect? I mean, nothing really new about the Kinect, but it was heralded as like something new and innovative and whatnot.
The only reason I will even grant Kinect new and innovative has nothing to do with the Xbox. While it was busy not doing shit,
PC people.
Smart people on the PC were turning it into something that does interesting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So... It's a piece of tech. It's always been kind of interesting as an implementation of, like, a game.
But, I mean, PC people would do that with the Wii remote back in the day,
too. The best-selling game whose commercial actually doesn't show any gameplay.
Oh, gee.
All of those, like, dancing games.
Dance, yeah.
They've sold, like, trillions of copies of these dancing games.
Just by showing people.
But if you look at the commercial, there's no game. There's no it's gameplay. Just a bunch of pretty people dancing. And it's like, oh, it looks great. What does? Being pretty? Well, yes. Of course it does.
I wouldn't know.
All right, what's the least botched console to PC port award go to this year?
The least botched. Console to PC?
Yes.
Okay. If it was botched on the console and it, like, you know, stayed just as botched on the PC, would that be, you know, least botched because it was already broken?
Bastion did okay from everything I hear.
That doesn't count.
Okay.
Console to PC.
I don't know.
I haven't heard any complaints on L.A. Noire.
That's because nobody picked it up. Because.
But, then again, you have to understand that people not complaining doesn't necessarily mean that it's working.
It just means there's nobody playing it.
Street Fighter 4?
Maybe.
Did Arkham City come out at the same time?
No.
It was delayed.
No.
Okay. And it's had problems.
Oh.
No DX11 support.
That could be a contender.
But least botch, you know.
Yeah.
It, you know, if you want to be really fair, it hasn't actually been the worst year for that. You know? Mm-hmm. As much as you could look at a successful PC game and say, well, it's a console, which I do. Look at exactly how console fucked Skyrim is. I mean, Skyrim's just fucked.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at how console fucked it is, it's not that bad. Look at Deus Ex.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see design decisions made to accommodate console levels of memory. But fuck me, that game was really great, you know?
They went a little further than most people have in bringing that to the PC.
Yeah.
I mean, they redid the UI.
Yeah. So. And it worked, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was just really functional, and it really worked. It was mostly in the design that you could see the console being favored.
But right.
As far as the execution, it was really good. And you go all the way back to Portal, of course. That went the other way.
Right.
It was a port to the console.
Right.
Not the other way around. So.
Yeah.
Although there were still design decisions that were for... That were designed to accommodate the console, so... I don't know what the absolute worst would be. I could see a lot of reasons to vote for Batman.
I didn't say the worst.
The least.
The least bad.
Oh, the least bad.
Yeah.
Oh.
Duke Nukem didn't have any problems, but it's...
Again,
it's a horrible game, but Duke Nukem didn't have... As far as I know, didn't have any problems going from console... Well, I don't even know that I went to console or PC.
If I were honestly thinking about what I'd consider to be... Since, you know, none of us is really rational when we have this argument, we're not willing to say, well, this is merely a multi-platform title.
Right.
This has to be a port.
Mm-hmm.
I would say Deus Ex did the best job of it.
I have no idea.
I can't think of anything that did a better job, so...
How would you have no idea?
Well, I mean...
You didn't play it in both places, but you played it on the PC. We spent an awful lot of time looking at, like, the console-type controls and stuff. So,
oh my god, yeah, that's true. How, especially the hacking part of that whole situation.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
just ridiculous. Those are all the tweets that we had.
Cool.
I got some emails here. I don't think we'll be able to get to all of them, but we will be next time we do the show. Quick one comes from Ryan Halpenny, who says, I thought this was interesting under the When Do I Get Diablo 3 section. Blizzard states you get your copy once it's publicly available and after your one-year subscription is complete. If I'm reading this right, that is a hell no on my part.
I'm willing to believe it's a because I read the same thing when he sent us that.
Yeah.
I was like, God damn it, that does sound fucked up. I think what they're saying is that once you've committed to the one-year thing, I don't think they're saying once it's over. Because they've already started distributing the rewards into World of Warcraft for that. The mounts and shit like that. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and think that they're just going to give it to you once Diablo 3 comes out, if you're currently in the one-year subscription.
Right, that's what I think.
Still, too. I won't be giving them my subscription money. I'll just buy Diablo 3, thank you very much.
Scott Walker writes in and says... about Skyrim, who else has the same OCD problem I do? As I am a D&D player, I have to create a character based on which activity I want to do. Thief for Thief Assassin only, Mage for Wizards only, and Ranger just to roam and whatever. I have other builds, but each one is focused, and I will not break that paradigm. My paladin will not use non-paladin-oriented spells or sneak or bows. Who else is crazy?
I'm not quite that far gone, but mostly because I thought I could put together a really fun hybrid.
Yeah.
And it turns out that's not entirely true.
I think I start that way with games. Like, this is how I'm going to be. But after I put in a good amount of time, it's all like, no, fuck it. I'm going to do what's the easiest thing for me to do or what's the most convenient.
Pretty much not the same way. I got a priest in Dark Souls. I've pretty much stayed with miracles. I haven't used any spells because that's not something a priest would do.
Right.
So I keep focusing on miracles instead of anything else.
Yeah, you face
a lot more
theoretical punishment in a game like that than in a game like Skyrim.
There's plenty of other things I would like to do in Skyrim, but I've only got so many perk points they're going to allow me to distribute by the end. So. Okay. So I feel like I kind of have to stay more focused than I would really like to. There's a few I wish I could take back, but...
Yeah. Skyrim's also more rewarding if you do a little bit of work in your own head to explain why you're doing what you're doing and don't allow yourself to do things a certain way, you know? You have to punish yourself in order for it to work that way. You have to deny yourself certain rewards. I wish it would go even further. Like, you and I have talked about this at length. Like, your only option for not being a dick in some cases, or for maintaining your story, is to just refuse to turn a quest in.
Yes.
There is no option of, like, fuck you, and then, like, getting in a big fight with a Daedra, you know? like you have a quest and the thing wants you to do this thing, and you for the most part really only get to either complete it or just walk away and never turn it in.
Mm-hmm.
Very few opportunities to make a choice.
Yeah.
That's upsetting.
Yeah.
Another email comes from Vigil80. Says, Vigil80 here. After listening to the Belt Buckle episode, I can't help but be a bit depressed at the brave new multiplayer world that James describes. I imagine sitting down to read Ivanhoe with people's notes popping up in the margins. It might be neat for a couple of chapters, but eventually I will see... He need to make that Jew chick his Ivanhoe, lol. And I'll wish I could just be left alone with my book. Maybe I'm a product of not having LAN parties to attend and historically hard time of finding friends to consistently play with online. Don't get me wrong, I revel in a good MMO and I've got about 60 hours in Battlefield 3 so far, but a future where single player is extinct makes me want to get comfy in Gaming Pass alongside Matt. Where I always enjoy the show.
I certainly don't want them to go extinct at all.
No.
But, I mean, given the choice of my future that requires the extinction of single player,
mm-hmm.
and the extinction of my future in favor of maintaining single player, obviously I have to maintain single player. I'm more interested in what I want as an option, you know? It's hardly overrunning the world at the moment.
Yeah.
If we're gonna cut out, you know, Facebook bullshit and MMOs and stuff like that. The reality though is it kind of will actually become a reality.
Mm.
I'm not the only one who wants it.
Calgar99 says, quick question about digital distribution. Hey guys, just a quick question. If EA goes the way of Midway, does that essentially mean that all games purchased through Origin are gone forever? The whole too-big-to-fail thought crossed my mind, and focusing on EA, they seem to be throwing around vast sums of money at different ventures such as PopCap and the Old Republic, yet don't seem to be recouping their loss. Their sales for quarter two ending last September was $712 million, but their net loss was $340 million. I'm not saying EA is going down, not at all, but it's just some food for thought when considering where to purchase your games from. Anyway, keep up the good work. Regards, Calgar99. P.S. Big fan of spoilers and game discussions, and I haven't even played any of the games I wanted to this winter due to outside influences. So what happens if EA goes under?
More than likely,
somebody grab your buys ankle on the way down.
Yeah, either that or somebody buys the service from them. Or to have...
Don't think that GameStop wouldn't be jumping in there.
I mean they already bought everybody startup, knows...
But yeah.
All of the retailers and publishers at this point know that digital distribution is the future on the PC.
Mm-hmm. I would see GameStop trying to go after money. That. Amazon. Oh,
GameStop's already bought their own.
And they'd buy their own... And if that was going under and they looked at an opportunity, they'd snatch it up too to get the rights to those games. Yeah.
This discussion actually came up in regards to Steam several years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And Steam Valve indicated that...
Well, it popped up last year because GOG did their little thing.
Before anyone else was in the market, this question was already on the minds of people. And Valve's answer, if I recall, unless this was just invented by the zeitgeist, was basically, we will release our hold on all of your shit.
That was what they said.
If we're going away, we will just untie everything. We will unshackle everything from the DRM aspect of our service. Our service will vanish, your games will not.
I would be surprised if their licensing agreements with other publishers actually...
They probably don't even have that option anymore.
Right. Because that statement was made back when it was before exclusively Valve games on Steam.
And that was also before Steamworks existed as a DRM service.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think anybody... It's not really tested yet.
Yeah.
You know?
I hate to see the day when that does get tested.
You will.
Yeah.
You will. Whether it's one company absorbing another... Or
one just going down,
or somebody just vanishing entirely. You'll see it. Won't be EA. They're just, I don't want to say too big to fail. It's just that they're too big. They won't just vaporize. They will go somewhere else. mm-hmm. or the likelihood that they will disappear is...
Hell, even not... Atari came back.
No. The name came back.
That's the not the company. That's what happens to companies like this. Yeah. If they, so when they go bankrupt, they sell off all of their assets, yeah, including their name. That's exactly what would happen to EA. Like, Origin would be sold to the highest bidder. The EA name would be sold to the highest bidder.
Mm-hmm. We got time for one more email?
Yeah, I think so.
Meng Yong sends this in and says, "Hey, in-game chat, how's it going, fellas? Been a while since I wrote in. I feel kind of bad for that, and I should really write in more often. It just seems a little hard to come up with some interesting opinions and questions to ask you guys. Again, great work on the show. Always a blast listening to you guys. I always find I can really trust everyone's opinion on a game. In a world where we have so many things to play and with limited time, it's always good to hear honest opinions to help decide on what game I should be spending more time. My question this time around came to me when I was reading reviews for Skyrim, which I'm sure some of you will be playing right now. One of the reviews I came across ended up with a perfect score of 10, and I thought to myself, that is way too much to be given to any game as a reviewer critic. Don't get me wrong, I'm a big fan of the Elder Scrolls series, and I know Skyrim will be a brilliant game when it arrives on my doorstep, but to me, if you give a game a perfect score, that indicates the game is flawless. I'm probably alone in this thinking, but if a reviewer gives a game a flawless score, that is a big indication of either A, the reviewer was bribed, not necessarily in money, but maybe with neat trinkets like free stuff or limited edition items, or B, the reviewer is a fanboy of the game company and its games. I find that if you're reviewing any game, you need to be professional about it, especially if you're working for an online game site like Destructoid, Kotaku, GameSpot, and take off your fanboy shoes. In my personal opinion, not a game out in the world really deserves a perfect score. For me, a perfect game would have literally no bugs, no glitches, game flows well, game design was unique and refreshing, and the game is a potential industry changer. To just simply slap a 10 for a game, but still in the review describe how the game has glitches in place and that NPCs can go missing and even prevent quests from continuing, to me, that's not a perfect score. At most, would be a 9.5. So finally, to my question to you guys, what would a game have to do, or be, to give you guys the incentive to give it a flawless, perfect score? Again, apologize for the long email. Keep up the good work. P.S. I'm making a trip to San Francisco for my animation graduation in January. I'm not sure if you guys are anywhere near there, but if I even get a chance to, I would love to meet up with my global gaming brothers for a beer. If not, do you guys have any advice or places I should visit? Perhaps a GameStop store.
God damn it, I really wish we were closer.
And where, San Francisco?
Yeah.
We're not very close to San Francisco, Matt.
I would tell them, go by the Presidio. I enjoyed when I went to San Francisco on the weekend, when I was out at Beale, went by Presidio and looked into Lucasfilm's, doorways and stuff like that, and that's pretty interesting. For his options, is there like a C? Option C? Coercion?
There's a C, and it's that...
To me, that'd be like coercion.
Scores are inflated,
yeah.
Because they're scared to give games scores lower than an 8.
Or they're told
when they deserve scores higher than an 8.
Yeah.
There's also...
So when something stands out for being something, that distances itself from the rest of the pack, the only way they have to do that now is a 10, because everything else gets a 9.
Yeah.
But no, of course it doesn't deserve a 10.
Here's the other thing. 10 doesn't mean...
Perfect?
It doesn't mean perfect. It means...
Because I've seen plenty of reviews that has a 10 in it, but there's still complaints.
No, it's like... No, it's a 10... Like, anymore, it must mean... It simply must mean, in the cases where there isn't bribery, which there are cases of that.
Mm-hmm.
It just means... I feel this much about it. On a scale of 1 to 10 of whether you should buy and play this game, it's a 10. Mm-hmm. On a scale of 10... In comparison to the quality of other games, it's not a 10. But we've abandoned that scale. That scale doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
It's simply, should you play this? You know? And if
that's the scale, then yes. Yes. Yeah, you can...
But I mean, practically speaking, that's what they're doing. They're not saying that. They're not telling you that we're operating on an entirely different metric. But if you pay attention to the words that accompany the score, nobody anymore is saying, on a critical, quantitative scale, this is a perfect 10. You know, this game is not Bo Derek. That's not what they're saying.
For me, Grim Fandango, 10.
It's a 10?
Yeah. Yes.
Grim Fandango was not a 10. Grim Fandango was a 9.5.
For me.
To all you 35 and older year old people out there, I hope you got the Bo Derek reference. But
But you know what I'm saying? Like, if you really pay attention to the reality, what they're saying is, I'm here to tell you whether you should buy, rent, or skip. That's really what I'm doing. And I have to have a scale of intensity that's going to lead you to a place of whether you should do it. It's because the scale in terms of overall quality doesn't work. We have to re-examine it all the time anyway. We all know that the whole thing is fucking broken. So when they say 10, they're saying, fuck me, you should play this fucking game, and it's worth your dollars. That's what they're saying. But they don't say that, so it's all confused. They're also doing things like, my time with this game. Holy crap, I'm thinking back to what I did, and my emotional response to this game was a 10. You know, I've had 10 moments in Skyrim.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the voice acting, which is amazingly advanced compared to Oblivion.
Mm-hmm. They got more. It wasn't
the storytelling necessarily, even though it's far better than what they did in Oblivion. It's the, you know, it's the coming down out of a snowy mountain. I mean, my fucking toes are numb just because of how cold the game makes it seem.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trudging down over some saddle out of some nasty, harsh, rocky crag with a bag full of dragon bones and a head full of fucking malice for some dude that did something in a quest I can't talk about. And I come looking down over the tundra with some mammoths walking around, and I see the mountains in the distance and the way that they fucking just nailed the fog.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the clouds and everything swooping down over it and just drifting over the valley.
Some of the waterfalls.
That's a fucking 10.
Yeah.
I don't even know what the hell it is, but it's a 10. Everything else is doing good to be an 8. But speaking entirely, like, really critically.
I get what you're saying.
And rationally.
Yeah.
But taken as a whole. And that's the problem. We're using numbers in a review, but we're applying the numbers to a qualitative experience. Well, there's a huge disconnect there, and you can't be doing that. You can't. So you just need to say, you know,
yes,
like,
no, maybe.
Yeah, like, my dick is this hard for this game. And that's what they're saying. That's all they're really saying. Otherwise, fuck it. There've only been a handful of tens in the entire history of the world. You know?
Some of the suggestions in the chat room were Tetris, getting a 10.
And Portal is a 10.
Link to the past.
Link to the... You bet your goddamn ass. That was my personal 10.
Yeah.
Link to the Past is like a 10.25. It really is.
It goes to 11.
And I've said that many, many times. Link to the Past is my perfect fucking game.
I want to give an update real quick. Kyrie just sent us a tweet and said he just got store credit for Green Man Gaming for the same amount the initial purchase was.
Oh, good.
So they're not all bad, I guess, but it's still a bad client.
Yeah.
All right.
Did you see the tweet from Brock about Eve?
No.
What time is it?
It's a visual tweet, which is why I didn't go over
7.
It.
7 till.
Oh, yeah. No, I've seen this. I have seen this.
Yeah, it's 7 till.
Okay.
While unfair, it's not entirely inaccurate. I remember seeing
people know what we're talking about.
What Eve players want you to believe the game is like, and it's a shot from the space battle during Return of the Jedi. What Eve is actually like, and it is an Excel spreadsheet. I would say that if you reduce the transparency on the Excel layer
and put it over?
Put it over this. And then take that battle and slow it down by a factor of, like, 4. That's Eve. It is that. It looks like that. Only really slow. Yeah. Nobody screams in excitement because there really are no surprises. All you really need to do is have a third layer that is chess. and put it over that. And that's Eve.
Someone made a three-person chess game. It's like a circle.
That's not chess.
That's crazy as hell.
Yeah.
All right, before the shit gets started, what's your game of the year? Everybody go around.
Like, personal, again, qualitatively speaking, like, just kind of like, what's my best favorite experience?
Yes.
Deus Ex.
Okay.
Because that shit had no business. It had no business. I was living in fear that that game would do nothing to advance the Deus Ex name in the world.
Yeah. It had I can't come where you're coming from on that. Yeah. So. Yeah.
But it had no right whatsoever to be that good. And it was that good.
That'd be mine also.
And not by a lot, but yeah.
For me, it's a toss-up, you know, Deus Ex, Portal 2. I know I had a great time just playing that. And Skyrim. Those would be my, you know.
You gotta pick one.
Deus Ex.
Okay.
I've got three in my head and I cannot figure out which one it is. Portal Batman. 2, Batman, and Uncharted 3, and I cannot figure out which one it is.
All right, we already know it's Batman.
With him, it's between Batman and Uncharted. And Uncharted. Right? I don't know why they would put Portal in there.
Because you reminded me of it when you were talking about your 10s, and I was like, that's this year, too.
Portal 2 wasn't a 10, though. Portal was a 10.
RJ?
That's true.
Yeah, based on what I played, I'm going to give it to Dark Souls.
All right. And I'm Skyrim.
Skyrim's a hell of a fun game.
Yeah.
Hell of a game. Portal 3 was a hell of a fun game, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a magnificent piece of work.
It's been a good year.
Jesus Christ, Batman was wonderful. Oh my God. I loved the shit out of Batman.
Batman's just
so goddamn...
The second ending of Batman is what really pulled that all together for me and said, you just rocketed to the top of my list.
It was just a good game. It was just good.
It was.
Yeah. I had fun with Dead Space 2.
The story was all goat-fucked and weird and it didn't make sense. It really didn't make sense in a lot of places, dude. It really didn't. But it was just such a solid game. But that's... The way that the story refused to make any sense in certain aspects is why it can't be mine. Portal 2, while good, did an awful lot to... Nothing Portal 2 would have been good enough. Ever. Portal 1 was so perfect. It was so perfect. It was a brilliant... Yes, Portal 2 is a bigger gem, but Portal 1 had perfect clarity. A brilliant cut. Left you wanting more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, didn't give you too much. Didn't try to do more than one thing. It was just its thing. So that's why Portal 2 can't top its guy. And its own existence is a flaw. So, but between Deus Ex just being like, what the fuck is this? How the hell did this be so good? And Skyrim just being something that could be that fucking broken, that inherently badly designed.
But still so much fun.
I mean, and I don't mean broken in terms of bugs, because it is broken in terms of bugs. And every patch has made it more broken.
Mm-hmm.
But broken in terms of game design. Now, certain aspects of the game simply aren't fun to play. And that after a certain point in the game, you're a god.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of your own power, without doing anything out of the ordinary, just doing what you want to do. Even a flawed build, even an unguided mess like my character is unstoppable. I don't even... If something starts attacking me, I don't even move. It's like, oh right, why don't I just go stand in a grove filled with angry bears so I can level up my light armor skill. I'm not even concerned that this might hurt me.
Alan Wake, that was fun.
No, it wasn't.
And that wasn't this year.
It wasn't?
No, no. It came out the same time as Red Dead.
Oh, yeah. Huh.
Also, it was broken. Do you remember what your objective in the game was?
To get through the woods.
Yes. God damn it.
For the most part, I'll keep this muted.
No, you don't want to do that.
Yeah. I'll watch it.
Really?
Okay. Yes, really. They're going to be kind of like meta-watching it with us, so.
In a nutshell, what am I to expect from this? Because I've never really watched one of these things before.
a circus.
Hot mess. Footage from N-rated games and scenes of intense violence. Viewer discretion is advised.